Welcome to the SOAP Bible Study Series from Oak Tree Community Church in South Bend, Indiana. We're working our way through the book of Deuteronomy, right. And we're past the halfway point now, and it's probably a good time for a review. So where are we, like big picture. Where are we big picture? We've gotten sort of stuck in some laws for a while.
Yeah, exactly. And we're going to continue with those laws. But yeah, I do agree. We need to take a step back. And remember, the Israelites were in Egypt for 430 years.
Yes.
And it started with Joseph. He intentionally brought the family there to keep them safe. The family started getting bigger and bigger. And at some point, we're talking millions.
Yeah.
And a new king came in and said, yeah, this is not good.
Yeah.
So he made the family slaves. And they were slaves until God and Moses freed them. And so, you know, think about it. They had no input to the law while they were in Egypt. They were told what to do. They were living, and they were living for others' wishes,
yeah,
really. And now God saves them, and he takes them towards this promised land, which is cool. And Moses presents the law to the people. Everything is great, and then it's not, right? Because yeah. Israel sins, so God has them really wandering around the desert for 40 years till that older generation passes away.
Because they didn't trust him. Right. It's really what it came down to, is God said, I'm going to give this to you, and they're like, yeah, we don't trust that you can do it. He said, well, then I'll give it to your kids.
Right.
To you.
Right. So now they're posed to enter the promised land for the second time. God has Moses tell all the Israelites the law again.
Again.
Right, because this is really the first time that they have to agree with it.
Yeah.
You know, for them, they would have been kids, children, or too young to really get it the first time.
Yeah.
And then God promises to lead them if. There's always an if Israel follows the laws.
Yeah.
And that's the problem that they always have.
Yeah. Their parents didn't do it. And so now, you know, okay. You know, we're almost like starting again, you know, starting over with this generation. Will you obey and trust me, or are you going to do the same thing?
And these laws are really how Israel needs to live as a society.
Yeah.
Something they hadn't done for 430 years. They had no input on how they were going to live.
Yeah.
So now this is all new to them.
Yeah. And I think that's a really important point, is because when we think of the law, a lot of times our minds, especially with the sacrificial system, our minds go straight to sin. Right. Everything this is about, you know, sinning, and you have to do sacrifices and all this. This isn't just a religious law. This is their constitution. This is their civil, the law of the land. Right. Yes, it will be arbitrated by priests. It was the idea. But some of these animal sacrifices, they were just fines for breaking the law. It wasn't really about sin as much as it was, you know, you sped, you know, five miles over the thing. Yeah. So you got to pay a fine, right?
Right.
So some of it was really big stuff and some of it was smaller stuff, but it was the law of the land, not just a religious type thing.
Right.
Right.
Right. So we see that in chapter 24, it talks about marriage, right? Marriage is a huge part of any society.
Yeah.
There needs to be some rules to govern how it's going to work.
And we've seen, even over the last several chapters, several things about marriage that God really cared how they did marriage.
Right. So he starts out with a section on how a man can divorce a woman.
Seems like you should, codify that, right?
Right, right. But God's allowing divorce,
yeah,
and God doesn't want divorce to happen.
Right.
But he's making a concession to the Israelites that if you are going to divorce your wife, here's how it needs to happen.
You have to do it this. So again, like we said last week with something else, God regulated it. He restricted how it was going to be done, but he never condemned it. He never called it sin. He never forbade it. He said, it's not my preference, but if you're going to do it, you have to protect. And in a patriarchal or in a male, you know, masculine dominated society, you have to protect the women. You have to protect the women.
Right.
Right.
So the man needs to find something indecent about the woman.
Yeah.
Then he can draw up divorce documents and he can give it to her and he can evict her.
Yeah.
And that sounds terrible, but she can remarry.
Yep.
But she can't remarry the original husband.
Right.
So the husband can't divorce her, go have a fling, come back, and,
yeah,
you know, all's forgiven.
Right. If she's married, if she remarried.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
So the divorce documents are her proof that she isn't married.
Yep.
And she needs that.
Yeah. Right? That's just send her away and say, yeah, we divorced. Well, no, we didn't.
Right.
You know, she's left in limbo.
Yeah. Now she's going to be,
she has that.
She's going to be an adulteress and it'll be problems.
Yeah. This is actually the passage that the Pharisees had in mind when they tried to trick Jesus. Didn't Moses say that we could divorce our wives for any reason whatsoever? Right. Because it's vague, right? Yeah. If he finds something indecent in her, it doesn't say what.
Right.
So, and of course, Jesus, you know, short answers to trick questions, you know, right. we don't build a lot of doctrine on short answers to trick questions, but this is what they had in mind, right. You know, well, Moses said anything indecent, so that could be anything, right? It's like, come on, guys.
Yeah. A newly married man doesn't have to serve in the army for a year. We talked about a little bit about that last week. But the idea is he has time to settle in, maybe time to start a family.
Yep.
Then he needs to serve in the army.
Yeah. If he were to die, his wife needs to have, you know,
a garden. Somebody to take on. Take on the family
wife.
Name too.
Yeah. Yeah.
If a man is found kidnapping a fellow Israelite, the kidnapper must die.
Isn't that interesting? You don't think of one of the things I think just sort of on my list of things to study one day is what...
How many kidnappings were happening from that?
No.
Oh, sorry. No, I really thought you were going there.
No, but the idea of there are certain things that God considered worthy of death, right? Usually we don't think of kidnapping as one of those things. You know, murder, yes, maybe some other things. But kidnapping is a death penalty. Yeah, because it is the complete devaluation of someone else's life, of a human life. Right.
Especially an Israelite.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's something that I think, you know, maybe I would like to study one day is just to go through the law and say, what are those things that God said? These are death worthy.
Interesting.
Right. And so.
Yeah. So there's a large section in here on human dignity.
Yeah.
If there's an outbreak of leprosy, you have to follow everything the priests instruct because God told the priests what to do.
Yeah.
You know, trust your government.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a part in here about Miriam. That was Moses' sister. She actually challenged Moses for leadership, and she ended up contracting leprosy.
Yeah.
And it was more about you need to follow your leaders versus, you know, you were trying to take over.
Yeah.
Take over everything.
Yep.
When you make a loan to your neighbor, there's generally something that's going to be given as a security for that loan.
Yeah.
So you're probably going to go to the person's house. He's going to go inside to get it. You stay outside.
Yeah, you don't get to wander through his house and say, this is what I want.
Yeah, take that instead of that. Yeah. Yeah, it's a respect, though, too. And that you need to receive it outside.
Yep.
If the security is a covering, a coat.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the person is poor, you must return that covering at night.
Yeah.
So the guy can use it.
Yeah, literally, if the guy is giving you the shirt off of his back, and he doesn't have a blanket to cover up with, even though he owes you money, you don't let him get, you know, sleep cold. Right. Again, it's human dignity. These are just basic human rights.
If you're paying wages, you have to pay them at the end of the day.
Yeah. So much for your twice a month or biweekly paycheck or whatever.
Right. But some depend on that pay for their life.
Yeah. Paying cash at the end of the day.
Right.
Here's what I owe you.
Yeah. And now you're giving it to somebody who has food or a place to stay or or whatever.
Yep.
Fathers must not be put to death for their children's actions, and children must not be put to death for their father's actions.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. If you own a field, you have the right to reap the harvest. It makes perfect sense.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't go through a second time to make sure you got everything.
Yeah.
And that's like, what? But here's the reasoning why. Widows, resident foreigners, and the poor need an opportunity to go through the field to get food for themselves.
Yep.
I mean, that's like,
yep.
That's very decent.
These are people who are not necessarily going to have jobs. They're just doing the best that they can, and they need to have food.
Yep. chapter 25 starts talking about judges. Judges are going to judge controversies, and if the guilty is sentenced to a beating, the judge presides over that punishment too. Yeah. And it's limited to 40 blows.
Yeah. So a judge can't say, beat him 40 times and then go have supper.
Right.
And not even have to watch the consequences of
his action.
Yeah. I just said beat the guy 40 times, right? I'm going to have to watch that,
right?
Right. So it's God checking the judicial system as well.
Right.
Yeah.
Don't muzzle your ox when it's treading grain.
Yep.
Right. The ox needs to eat too.
Yep. The Apostle Paul quoted this in 1 Timothy when he was talking about pastors, actually, and compensating pastors for their work. And other ministers of the gospel, those who live by the gospel should be fed by the gospel, or those who work the gospel should be able to live by the gospel, he says in 1 Corinthians 9. Yeah.
If brothers live together with their wives, and one brother dies without having a son, this one gets a little complicated, the other brother needs to marry the sister-in-law.
Right.
And the first son she bears will continue the name of the dead brother.
Yeah.
And the whole reason for this is land rights and naming rights, yep, too, in there. So it keeps the land within the family. Now, there's a lot more to this.
There's a ton of stuff, but this is one of those places where, you know, it's interesting. Last time we talked about, you know, having multiple wives or whatever, God all but commands some people to take another wife.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
For this reason, right?
Yeah.
So it's not even just that God permits it. There are certain circumstances, certain circumstances where he basically commanded it.
Right. And if the other brother doesn't want the wife, there's some rules in there too, and you can read it.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
And so when you do read that here, we're in chapter 25. When you do read that, let your mind wander over to the book of Ruth. And this is why Ruth ended up marrying Boaz instead of the other relative who was actually closer. And look at what he did with the shoe and the whole thing. It's like, oh, this is actually in the law. God
does the shoe show up in Ruth?
Sandal.
He took a shoe.
Yeah,
the sandal. That's right.
Yep. So what we see there in Ruth,
yeah,
connected back here to Deuteronomy 25. Yeah.
You must not have different stone weights. Again, sounds a little weird, but weights were used to measure things. If you're buying some grain off of somebody, you really want them to have one set of weights.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? You don't have the heavy weights and the light weights.
Yeah, put your thumb on the scale.
Yeah, exactly. You're cheating others.
Yep. It comes down to dignity and you know, just human rights and taking care of each other, right? Integrity.
Yeah. And I think we also said this one last week, repeated again, the Amalekites were one of the people that the Israelites needed to completely annihilate.
Yep.
Why? Well, because when Moses and the people were originally passing through their land, they were evil and they cut off the stragglers, right? Literally kind of, cut them off at the end.
Yeah, sort of like a wolf grabs the weak and the sickly and the old at the bottom, at the end of the flock.
Yep.
That's exactly what they were doing to God's people.
Yeah. Chapter 6, a lot of tithing in there. There's a special offering that the Israelites are going to have to give when they enter the land for the first time. They need to gather the first of the ground produce and give it to the priests.
Yeah.
You know, one thing, if you think about it, they did nothing to earn that, right?
Right.
Somebody else planted it. Somebody else tended it. Somebody else watered it. They're just picking it up.
Yeah. And the priests will go in with nothing and they can't earn anything. So, God
they need
says
something right off the
we
bat.
Need to get them started because you have a whole field to eat from. Let's get them paid ahead of time.
Right. So the priests will put it on the altar. There's a prayer and response that you'll read about. That's kind of neat.
Yeah.
And the prayer starts with, "A wandering Armenian was my ancestor." And right off the bat, you're like, what?
What in the world is that?
Yeah. That's Jacob, right? Yeah. It's a reference back to Jacob who ran away because he was scared to death of Esau with very good reason.
Yep.
And he ended up living in his mother's land.
Aram.
Padanaram. And that's where so it's actually a celebration and thinking back to that.
And even further back from that, two generations before that, that's where Abraham and his dad had stopped and lived for a while until his dad died. and Abraham and continued moving to the land of Canaan.
Yeah.
So okay. That's where the family ended up living, which is why Jacob, you know, his mom was born there and he went back there. Yep.
Well, the third year is a special tithing. It's for the Levites and the widows and orphans and foreign residents. Moses finishes this section with a note. Basically, a nation of Israel, you need to follow all these rules. If you do, God's going to elevate you above all the nations, you know, and he's going to single you out. He's going to praise you. You're going to have fame. You're going to have honor, and you will be the people holy to the Lord your God, right? You're going to be literally set apart. Unfortunately, it doesn't happen.
Lots of ifs in there, right?
But, you know, it's there.
And yet, they're still God's chosen people, even though today, you know, they're scattered, and we'll see this in upcoming chapters, they're scattered all over the world, and yes, they do have a homeland, but even that's constantly under attack, and the whole, God has not forgotten Israel, and all
these things. He still has promises to keep. All right, chapter 27 is going to take us a new section to take us through the end of the book.
Yeah.
The first thing they need to do when entering Canaan is go to a central location. Shechem is that the name of it.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be two mountains there. They are to erect a pillar with God's law. You've seen there's a ton of laws, and we've also seen the Ten Commandments. I don't know if all the laws are going to be written there, if it's just going to be the Ten Commandments, because all the laws kind of follow under the Ten Commandments. Yeah. But they also need to erect a stone altar for burnt sacrifices.
Yeah.
This is when, you know, when they first get in there. The 12 tribes are going to be split into two groups, each on a separate set of mountains. And then they are going to represent the blessings and the curses of these laws.
Yeah, they're going to yell back and forth across the valley at each other.
Right. But this is the way that God wants them to accept these laws.
Yeah.
Right? These are the laws you have to follow. You're going to hear them. The priests are going to say the laws, and you're either going to repeat them or say, you know, amen, because we agree with them.
Yep.
And some of the laws are for curses, and some are for good things. So kind of dividing them up.
It's really a cool thing because
so you don't have to stand 4 hours while somebody's just... There's some actions that happen. Yeah.
So it's a call and response. Everybody's involved. And I think the thing that we have to remember is that this isn't just the second giving of the law. We've said Deuteronomy is the second giving of the law several times, right? But it's also the second giving of the covenant, right? So we go back to Exodus, and when God made the covenant at Mount Sinai with the first generation, Moses gave them several times where he's like, are you sure that you're going to do it? Yes, we're going to do it. Are you sure? Yes, we're going to do this. So we sort of see the same thing here.
Right.
Right. God is like, okay, you say this and you repeat this. Are you good with that? Yeah, we're going to do that. All right, let's do this one more time. We're going to do it, you know, a different way. And so there's the second giving of the covenant with the people of Israel. Not just, you know, here's your law again, but I'm making this covenant with you if you obey, if you disobey. Right. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, kind of cool.
Yeah.
And that ends this chapter, and it also ends our reading for this week, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're motoring through this.
Yeah, we are. There's only a few weeks left in the book. I like how you said chapter 27 starts a new section that takes us through the end, because the next, especially next week, what chapters 27 sets up is really important. Okay. So, it's foundational. So, going to next week. So, we'll end here. Subscribe and follow and share this with as many people as you think would find it helpful. Ask your questions, make your comments here, below the video, or contact the church office. We'd love to hear from you and be able to respond directly to you when you have those. And we'll pick up here with chapter 28 next week, longest chapter in the book.
Yes.
So we won't cover as much ground next week just because of longer chapters, but some really, really good stuff in here that I can't wait to share with you for next week. So we'll see you then.
Maybe some curses. All right, bye. See you next week, everybody.